Well, good evening. I greet you in Jesus' name again. It's very good to be with you all again this evening. The week is somewhat over, and it's time for the weekend. But I was thinking of the end of the week this morning when I was at school for devotions, and I was encouraging them to look at the Christian day school as a blessing in their life and try to portray to them the value of the Christian day school. And I told them, your school is a little different than ours. Our school has, from grade 7 to 12, that's, I would say, the bulk of our school, and our younger grades are a little bit on the smaller side as far as the number of people. Well, at your school, it seems like there's a lot of younger ones and maybe not so much older ones, so maybe it'll be trading places here after a while. But as I was thinking about that encouragement, I thought, well, maybe I should give that here this evening to the parents and have them think about the value and the importance of Christian Day School. And I told them that a generation or two ago that our forefathers sacrificed a lot to start the Christian Day School. And they put a lot of time and effort and energy. And here we are, a couple generations removed, and we, may I say, take it for granted a little bit. And I hope that we don't take it for granted too much, because it is a tremendous value for our churches today. And so maybe you as leaders, if you need a topic, maybe you can think about the importance and value of Christian Day School, and that can be a sermon sometime, or maybe a series if the Spirit leads. So thank you for the opening, Brother Stephen. I am so glad that God treated us uniquely for companionship. I'm glad that he put that in our lives. You know, there's a lot of unknowns with technology and with AI coming on and all the things that it may replace. But I can assure you tonight that it will not replace companionship. God has created that very uniquely. You cannot have empathy and those type of things. I'm saying it pretty strong. They can do a lot with technology, but that's how I feel in my heart. I don't think it can replace what God has designed from creation. And so I'm very thankful for that. And speaking of companionship, I see some very dear friends of mine from church that came the whole way here this evening, and that's very special to me. This evening, my message is going to be somewhat maybe vulnerable. Maybe you can look into my life a little bit. Some things that I've struggled with. I don't know how many here may have struggled with this in your lifetime. Maybe it'll just be a few people, but I would like to look at some things that can cause us to worry, that can cause us anxiety, that can cause us fear. And just take a look at that and how we deal with those things in our life, because I think it's very important. And so I would like to look at the word trust, and I would like to look at the word unknowns, and thinking of the future in our lives. And so I don't know what age here to say, maybe 30, 35, for sure 40. You should remember that Tuesday morning on September 11th, 2001, when we got the news that the first plane crashed into the Twin Towers, and then about 17 minutes later into the second tower, and about 30-some minutes later into the Pentagon. And then maybe about 45 minutes later, then we hear the one in Somerset County. And probably if I would ask all of you 40 and older, you can probably tell me the time and place and how that you learned about that event. I'm pretty sure that you can tell that. That was a traumatic happening in our lives. And for me, as a very young man, I was at work. I can tell you exactly where I was. There was a lot of unknowns. And they were hauling the president off to a secure place. They were grounding all the air flights. And what is going to happen next? And you felt helpless. And what do you do? And I remember standing there in a discussion with men. It just like paralyzed everybody. And no one would do anything. They just couldn't believe it. And so what are we going to do with the unknowns? So this evening, I would like to consider some ways that we can strengthen our faith in this area of trusting God in the unknowns of life. And so do you struggle this evening to give it all to God and just let him take care of all the unknowns in life? Just let God be fully in control. At least for myself, I like to have a plan. I like to know what to expect. I like to be prepared of what's coming next. And that is not always possible. And so I'd like to think about that a little bit. You live in three time zones. You live in yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may never come. And the only thing we have is right now, today. And always living in yesterday's worlds can paralyze us or can rob us of what we need to do today. And living in the tomorrow and the what ifs and the some days will paralyze and rob us of that as well. And so we tend to hold on to these things of the past that keep us from making these necessary changes in our life to cause action today. And we don't embrace the future because of the unknowns. See, this can be a very tricky thing. And so we can get lost in the what ifs of life. We can get lost in the some days. Someday when I have more time, I will do this and this. Someday I will make this wrong right. Someday I will serve God. Someday I will try to have a closer walk with Him. Someday I will take time and stop and talk to that neighbor. Someday I will go and visit the elderly, whatever it may be. And we delay these things in life because of the unknowns. By saying someday, we are putting something that we need to do now into some future time and place that we do not have promise of. I would also like to think of the what ifs in life. It seems like we went through a period of time here recently where there was a lot of what ifs. There was a lot of unknowns around the election. What if so-and-so gets elected? There's a lot of what ifs. What if the economy collapses? What if my health fails? What if I lose my job? What if another pandemic comes? How will we handle that? And what are we going to do? And that can just paralyze us and captivate us to a point that we don't know what to do. To the point that we can lose our faith and strength and our trust in God. And our fears of tomorrow turn into stress, they turn into anxiety, and they turn into worry. I always said that as my boys got older, I would always like to go on some CAM trips, some cleanup trips and stuff. And I've always said that, and I've heard different people go on, and I always encouraged them, and I thought that was a great thing. And I just kept saying, someday I will do that. Someday, someday. And my boys are getting older, but we still haven't done that. And I got to thinking, you know, if I don't ever start something and start a habit or a practice, it's never going to happen. And so this past fall, we had the opportunity of going with some church young men and to go to Georgia and help with some cleanup. And that was a very special experience. And I regret not doing some of those things earlier in life because I kept saying, someday when my boys get older. And I missed some opportunities in my life, and I regret that. And so as you have opportunities, take action now. Don't live in the what ifs and the some days. Life is full of unknowns, and we have very little control over what the future is and what will happen. And so we have to commit to God 100% the future. So I ask you tonight, is your worry list bigger than your prayer list? Are you better at worrying or are you better at trusting? Solomon, the wisest man who lived in the era of his time, was granted much wisdom from God. And all the things of this world brought him to a point in life that when he turned away from God and followed after the wise, I have to think about how that affected him trusting God. He started trusting in other things other than God. The wisest man. And so I would like to get our minds thinking about this, of the unknowns into the future. And I would also like to look at the word trusting. But I'd like to give you a very practical story about the unknowns. So we live in Hagerstown. There's a mall close to us, Valley Mall. And when we were in the youth group, we went there and sang for Christmas time, a Christmas caroling. And so we did that up until about the time we were married. Maybe it stopped a little bit before that. And we have not been back to the mall since. And so a few years ago, I decided to take our children to the mall. Some of them needed shoes and stuff. And so I decided one night, just off the spur of the moment, I said, let's go to the mall. And the children said, what? I said, yeah, the mall. And they're like, what is that? And so I started to exaggerate what the mall was, and almost to a point that I got them a little bit scared. And as we got out of the vehicle and as we were walking in, I took my two little girls and I held their hand. I said, you better be careful. And Anyhow, I exaggerated a few things and got him a little bit scared, but they were walking in through those doors into an unknown. The only thing they knew is what Dad was telling them. They did not know what to expect at a mall. Anyhow, it was somewhat, like I told them, but it was somewhat exaggerated too. But it was just interesting that even as adults, there's a lot of things that we don't know. And how do we handle that? So before we get into that much more, I would like to look at trust. The word trust means assured reliance on the character, ability, strength of truth, or of someone or something. That is what trust is. And I'd like to turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 30. And here's something that was happening to David. Things were not going well. Everything was going the wrong way. And I would like to, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And at the end of verse 6, after all these things that was happening, look at what David did. 1 Samuel 30, it says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were with therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to that city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Hananom and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." So we see here that they get back to this city, and everything was laying in ruin. Their children, their wives, everything was taken captive, and they were very discouraged. They were very sad. They cried until they couldn't cry anymore. And they were so frustrated at David, they said they wanted to kill him. And it says he trusted in God. He was encouraged in his Lord. He knew where his foundation was. He knew where his strength and power was. And that is very encouraging to me. And to be fully transparent this morning or this evening, this is an area that I know that I need an area of growth in. These are areas that maybe you look at a pastor that he should be fundamentally grounded and rooted in this long ago. But it is something that I struggle with, to give it all to God, 100%. When things are discouraged, it seems like we frantically try all the more to try to get things collected and in order. And so I don't know if that surprised you this evening or not, but it is sometimes very difficult to just let it all in God's hands, 100% in his control. This isn't something new. It's something that we've been taught from little up, but putting it into practice can be very difficult. And it can cause a lot of anxiety and fear in our lives. It is very easy to feel uneasy, I should say, about the future when you look around in our culture today. There's just a lot of division and fights and turmoil and tensions everywhere we look. And we can begin to bring some of that onto ourselves and feel anxious. And it's very easy to quickly not trust in God through these things. And in our own self-sufficiency, we become very good at trying to get ourselves out of these situations. And we try not to let it be known or to give it to our sovereign God, because we like to try to bypass him for some reason and try to handle things on our own. And I have three things this evening that I feel that has hindered us in our day and age when it comes to trusting God. The first one I have is our connections and our capable friends. At least for me, if I need something, it's pretty easy to find someone to help me out of whatever bond I'm in. It's easy just to make a phone call or send a text and say, "Hey, can you help me? I'm going through this difficult situation, or I need this and this." And typically, we can find somebody to come to our rescue. And we don't wait on God. Waiting and trusting in God can be a very lengthy process. It can be a very trying process. But that is what we need to do, and not try to find someone somewhere to get us out of every situation or predicament we find ourselves in our life. Because we have a lot of resources today. We really do. And sometimes we find very little need and needing God in our life. The second one I have is we feel distance from God. Many times I read different stories in the Old Testament. We thought of Nehemiah this week and different ones where God spoke directly to them. And God can still speak to us through his Spirit in an audible voice and be near to us. But it's just not quite the same. And we just feel that separation or we feel that distance. And it takes, I think, more faith today. Because not being physical in the presence of God, like the people in the Old Testament, or being close to Jesus like the apostles, it can have us feeling removed or distanced from this all-powerful God. It can make us feel distant from the situation. And the third one I have is cultivating the bad habit of worry. And I already asked you the question this evening, are you better at worrying or are you better at trusting? And we'll talk a little bit more about this later. But I feel that there is more worry and there is more anxiety today because there is a lack of trust in God. And so I ask you a question this evening, is anxiety and worry something that is learned? Is it something that is self-taught? Is it something that's caught? How do you learn to worry? Is it something that's just natural, that just second nature that we just do? Who teaches us to become anxious and worry? How does that happen? And so I know it's different for every person here this evening. Some people are very laid back and they don't worry near as much. And some of us are more maybe high strung and things get us all bottled up and we feel anxious in life. Maybe it's personality. Maybe I don't know what it is exactly, but I just ask you the question, when you think of when you're worrying, like where did it come from? Did it come from a lack of trust in God? Is that possible? Absolutely. I think it is this evening. Sure, many of you have been through many difficult things in life, and it can be hard to put the full trust in God. We want some type of pill or we want some type of answer to whatever situation we have. And so we ask the question, and through these difficult times, does God even care? Does he even see what I'm going through? Did he forsake me? Did he forget about me? Where is God? And so we begin to try to do things on our own. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. What powerful words that is. Do not lean on your own understanding. Follow God. Trust God with all thine heart. Not just part of it, all of it this evening. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, realize that you're nothing relying on your own wisdom, but we do need a God. We do need to have God in control of our life. And some of the reason I feel that we struggle with this word trust is because we fail at that so many times in our own lives. Trust is something that takes years to build, and it takes seconds to tear down, and it takes forever to repair. Trust takes years to build, seconds to tear down, and forever to repair. And that is so true. Us in our human nature, we fail people in our lives. Maybe someone trusted you to do something, and maybe you left them down in one way or the other. And so you have a hard time trusting that person again, and maybe it's not just that person, maybe it's someone else. Maybe your trust in humanity is weak. And that is possible because we are humans. We fail. But God is not that. God is perfect. His word is sure. He is true. He is the one who is supreme and all-powerful. He is the one that you can absolutely trust in this evening. And you don't have to worry about whether he will let you down or not. It's just not possible. So thinking a little bit more about the unknowns, we have an incredible hunger to know the unknowns of our future. We want to know what's coming next. We want to be prepared. Nobody likes to be in the dark. No one likes to be blindsided. We like to have information. We want to know. We don't like to be surprised. We don't like to be caught off guard. That's not who we are typically.
And so when we don't know or we're unprepared, that leads us to stress and anxiety and worry. And we think that if we know that we can have a certain amount of control in our life, if we would just know this and this, then I can do this and this. And so that's why we like to know. We like to prepare. But we just read those words in Proverbs. It says, lean not onto thy own understanding. That's not what we're supposed to do. But we're supposed to trust in God with all your heart. And trusting in God is not something that God is asking us to do blindly. He has given us absolute truths in his word. We talked about truth last night. And we can be reassured that there's many truths this evening that we can look to that helps us rest assured and be at peace about our future. And I would like to turn to Joshua 1. I'd like to read a few verses here. And this is when I talked about feeling distance from God. This is a good example of this. This is God speaking directly to Joshua. And we're going to read the first 9 verses. And it's very clear here of 7 promises that God gave Joshua as a leader. Moses is now off the scene. Joshua is the point man. He is the man in charge to lead these people into the promised land. And I feel that he is probably feeling inadequate, weak, not sure how to lead. He's probably just, feeling very new at this. And so I believe God, in his almighty, all-knowing power and all-knowing, that he looked down and seen that Joshua needed propped up. He needed a little assurance here in being a leader. And so, starting at verse 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, this is Joshua 1, the servant of the Lord came it to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I had said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to be the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So he probably didn't have time to process that as we read down across it, but he gave him 7 promises, direct promises from God to Joshua. Wouldn't that bolster your trust this evening? If God came down and said, here is 7 things that I promise you, wouldn't that be encouraging this evening? That would be very real. It would help us in this unknown, fear, anxiety, stressed part of our life. We heard it from God. That's exactly what Joshua heard. And so that's why I say sometimes we feel distance from God. We don't maybe hear it quite like Joshua did. But we do have the Spirit, and we can have that assurance this evening. But he promised them 7 things. The first one was, is wherever you go, automatically I will give you this land. And he kind of laid it out with the rivers and everything there. And the second one, he said, no one will be able to stand up against you as long as you live. And the third one was, he said, I will be with you the same way I was with Moses. And Joshua experienced that in his life. He knew how God was with Moses all those years going through the wilderness. And guess what? He gave him the exact same promise to him. The fourth one, he says, I will not fail you. The fifth one, I will not abandon you. He will be right by his side. And we have that same promise today, that God will be right by our side. But do you have the faith and are you willing to give it all and to trust him this evening? The sixth one is, you will be the one leading these people. He promoted him. He told him he will be the one as the leader. He won't have to worry about someone else coming in and trying to take over. He is the chosen one. And the seventh one is, if you obey my word, if you obey the law the same way that Moses did, I will make you successful. And be careful with that word successful. Many times when we use that word, we use it as material things, and we think of it as physical things in this life. But that's not what he was talking about here. It was successful according to spiritual things in his life. It's just a very, very encouraging passage as we read through Joshua and these promises. It just would be so great to just put our trust in him, and we have that opportunity this evening. But was it all easy for Joshua from then on out? Did everything go just fine for Joshua? What about the battle of Ai? Did that mean that God wasn't in control? Did God fail Joshua at those times? It's not always easy this evening, folks. It's just not. But God is faithful. He is one that we can still put our trust in. Just because we face discouragements in life and disappointments, it doesn't mean that God is not in control. And many times you go through the book of Joshua, God would tell Joshua, he would come to him, he'd say, arise, get going. Do not be discouraged. And he's telling us the same thing this evening. Arise, continue on, be faithful. I will be with you. Just let me handle it. That's what God's begging us to do this evening. When we have been given so many tomorrows, we just expect that tomorrow will always come. We talked about that earlier in the week, and that is not something that we are guaranteed. We read those verses in James 4 that talked about it's okay to plan. It's okay to say that I will go into a city and do this and this, or I will go and buy this and this. That isn't what they were saying there that was wrong. But what was wrong is if you do not make it according to God's plan and saying, if the Lord wills, I will do this and this. So the past should teach us that tomorrow is unpredictable, and we should learn from that, but we don't very easily learn that concept very well. And so James is criticizing those people of that time for trying to be in control and trying to plan out their future and not allowing God to influence and impact their life. I also read that verse in Proverbs 19:21. You can make plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. That's a summary of that verse. God's plan will always prevail. Rest assured of that this evening. And I think we will handle the unknowns and the unexpected in life if we recognize our own limitation and understand that God is in control. As a young man, my dad would always tell me there's only two things that's sure in life, and that is death and taxes. But Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That's the two things that are sure. There will be a judgment. There will be that day. And if the Lord don't return, you will die. That is the two absolutes this evening. Death and judgment. That is the absolutes this evening. Everything else, to some extent or another, is unknown. We can plan. We can have a pretty good idea. But to know absolute, those are the absolutes that we know tonight. The future is discussed, it's speculated on, predictions are made, there's a lot of uncertainties in life, and men go to great lengths trying to predict a future. There are businesses developed and made, built on trying to predict the future and to try to eliminate as much unknowns as possible. And the reason why men try to predict life is to try to eliminate as many unknowns as possible. And so people invest a lot of time and energy and emotions and feelings into trying to evaluating what they can expect in the future. But what we must understand that the future is really unknown. And so the unknown things in life can be difficult. They're rarely welcome, and they intrude in our sense of well-being. It seems like the less we know and the longer we have to wait, the more anxiety and fear chases away the peace that we would have had in our life. And so I feel that trusting God does come somewhat through experiences. As we see God faithful in our lives, it begins to prompt something within us to continue to give more and more and more to God. So as we go through our experience in life, I think that trust, that can be something that is built upon. But I encourage you to continue to give as much, all that you can, everything in your life to God. And so I would like to look at the life of Peter a little bit. thinking about some unknowns in his life. We'll turn to Luke 5. And we're just going to look at a few things. This is very early in on Peter's life. And this, I think, is one of the first things that he was tested on. Luke chapter 5. And we'll start reading it, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, and he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, that which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partner, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished in all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from hence thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ship to the land, they forsook all and followed him." This is the first test. He fished all night, caught nothing. Went back out there, and Jesus is saying, Go ahead, drop your nets again. And he's like, It's just not possible. Like, what are you trying to say? He just couldn't figure it out. But then we see what happened. And then he went even further under the unknown. Jesus proved himself true and faithful. And when he got back to the land, he said, Now let's go be fishers of men. And he left everything. That was a big unknown step for Peter. He had no idea what that step right there would lead to in his life. And I would like just to read a couple of verses yet further on in Peter's life. Matthew 16. This is something else that Jesus told Peter that he didn't fully understand, and he didn't know the effects of what Jesus was saying. Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, "When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So Jesus is telling Peter here, upon this rock I will build my church. What did that mean to Peter? What understanding did Peter have of that statement? I think it was very limited. But we know that Peter was faithful and serving. And we'll go back to Acts 12 and read just a few more verses here, looking at late into Peter's life and how through all of his life, just trusting God of the unknowns of tomorrow and how that affected his life. Because everything in Peter's life, he just fully trusted God with. By this time in life, he was assured that whatever Jesus said would happen and it was going to be okay. And so this is chapter 12 of Acts, verse 5. "Peter therefore was kept in prison." So Peter here was locked in prison. "But the prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the doors kept the prison. And beheld, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly, and his chains fell off from his hand. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." So there was a very good chance that Peter was in prison. He was bound with two chains between two prisoners. And from my understanding and my interpretation is there was a very good chance that he was going to be put to death the next day. The very next day. And there he is, sleeping. If you knew that death was very possible tomorrow for your faith, would you be sleeping like Peter? He was trusting God. He wasn't worried about tomorrow. He had full faith and confidence in God. I would like to turn back to Matthew 6 and read a couple more verses here. That is very encouraging. There's some words of Jesus here that we can take to heart today and should be an encouragement and should help us to let all the worry and the anxiety of tomorrow's just to fade away. Matthew 6, very familiar verses, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat and body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. How many times did Jesus say, take no thought for tomorrow? Many times in those 9 verses that we read. Here, Jesus is giving us a lesson on the unknowns of the future and why we do not need to fear the future. God already knows all of our needs. He knows what we need, and he takes care of them. So people today, I feel, form one of these behaviors to deal with the unknowns or uncertainties of tomorrow. First, I have is excessively seek reassurance from others. That is something that we do to try to prop us up and to try to get us to not fear the tomorrow. The second one is we try to be in control. We try to micromanage people and the things that we are in charge of. The third thing I have is we procrastinate. And the fourth is we repeatedly check things. And so as we think about this, how do we respond when we think of the uncertainties of the future? And so tonight I feel that we're typically in 3 categories of people when we think of the unknowns. And probably each one of you will fit into one of these 3 categories. The first one, I call them the figurers. These are the type of people that try to filter everything through their mind and try to remove what isn't logical. They try to rely on their own logic to keep them safe and secure. They won't go beyond their understanding and what they can process. They analyze and they think through things and they create charts and maps and all these things just to try to figure out every possible scenario and detail that may happen. They don't want to be caught off guard. And we need people like this. None of these 3 types of people that I'm going to give you is bad or wrong. It's just to try to help you understand how you process these things in life. And so it's good to have these people that figure and plan and try to be proactive in life. But those type of people will never walk on water like Peter did, because they just wouldn't have the faith to step out and just say, God is in control. They have to have a plan. They're the figurers. And then you have the feelers, the people that try to feel their way through life. They try to make decisions based on their emotions and their feelings. And that's how they make decisions. And that one can be a little bit tricky. We have to be careful making decisions in life based on our emotion and our feelings, because they change by the hour, by the day, by the week, by your circumstances. So we have to be very careful to do that. But these type of people rely a lot on their conscience and to try to guide them through life and to try to process the unknowns of the future. They have to feel good about it. They don't just simply trust. That's the feeler type of people. And then you have the faither type of people. These are maybe the more laid back type of people. They are the people that their hearts are fully surrendered to God. They don't have as much trouble to just fully trust in God. And these type of people, they need to be the mentor type of people to the two people that I mentioned before that. And I just think they are a very important people to have in our life. Just the people that can just with full confidence say, I'm just going to trust God. And however it works out, it's going to work out. I just have full confidence that it'll be according to God's plan. I am envious of those type of people. I'm jealous of those type of people tonight. That's not the category that I am. I'm more in the first category. I like to have a plan. But I'm very thankful tonight that I'm in a relationship that my wife is more in the third category of the faithers. She has done a lot of good for me to just simply say, Brian, it's okay. Just simply trust in the process or trust in God that it will work out. And so it's very, very encouraging to have someone like that in my life. And so I don't know, maybe you all have, as couples here, have that in your life. Maybe you have one or the other. And you can complement each other. It's a very good thing. And so it is true that any element of unpredictability or unknown significantly increases people's discomfort. That is a fact. And I'll give you this one illustration quickly. I recently, in the last year or two, I worked for, and maybe it's been a little longer, maybe I shouldn't have said recently, I worked for a person who was adding on to his house and remodeling it. His daughter had jumped into a swimming pool and it was too shallow and hit her head, and she ended up being a quadriplegic for the rest of her life. And he remembers getting the call and going to the hospital, and the doctors was saying with absolute confidence that she will be a quadriplegic for the rest of his life. And he said, as odd as that may seem, but there was a certain amount of assurance or comfort knowing that it was an absolute. He said, if they would have just said, well, she has a 50% chance of walking or some mobility or some, like, they would have worried and they would have stressed and they would have went to great lengths throughout their life trying to make this happen. But there was a certain amount of clarity or peace knowing that this is the reality. And so knowing stuff can give us a peace. Not knowing things can cause us to worry and to cause fear in our life. And it's not just the uncertainty of a condition or state that we find ourselves in that causes us discomfort. We are also reluctant to place ourselves in potential profitable situation if they involve any element of unpredictability or unknown. It took me a while to think through that, so I'll repeat it just so you can get it. It is not the uncertainty of a condition or state that we find ourselves in that causes us discomfort. We are also reluctant to place ourselves in potential profitable situation if they involve an element of unpredictability or unknown. That is a fact. That is reality tonight. And so as our minds go through all this process of endless possibilities of what these outcomes and stuff may be, anxiety may be the core of that if we do not get a hold of what the trust is, and if there's an uncertainty at the end of that decision. My children like to call us old. They call us about living, growing up and being born in the 1900s. And, you know, that was a long time ago. And as I was thinking about this, I rehearsed a story to them of when we first got color ID in our house. I mean, that was a big thing. That way, when the phone rang, we could go there and we could see who was calling. Otherwise, before that, they would answer the phone and we would listen. And you would only hear one side of the conversation. They would say, well, I think that's Uncle Harold, or I think this is so-and-so. And you would try to decipher who this was on the other end. It was just very, very curious things as we did as children. But when we got color ID, that was all done away with. We knew exactly who was calling. And so we didn't have to wonder anymore. There was an absolute, right there it was, Uncle Harold. We knew that's who was calling. Reading a few more verses this evening than I have, but I would like to just really drive this point home as we look into Scripture and thinking about this. I'm just going to read a few verses. You don't have to turn here. Thinking of Abraham, chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, or Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So there was an unknown call into Abraham's life. God is calling Abram to leave all your comfort, leave all your security, leave everything that you call normal and home, and just follow me out into the unknown. And when you get back in Hebrews, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise and as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, he obeyed this unknown call in his life. And so can we this evening, by faith, trust in God about the unknowns of the future? The top three causes for anxiety, worry, fear, stress in last year was personal finances, the uncertainty of the future, and health. That is very relatable. And that is also why in our country, we can do many things to try to fend off all this anxiety and fear. You can buy insurance for anything you want in life. You can get it for your body. You can get it for your pets. You can get it for your crops. You can get it for your business. You can get it for your health. You can get it for anything you want to try to help you make you feel secure. But let me tell you, friends, tonight, if you do that, there's a certain amount that you're taking away from trusting in God. And I'm not saying all insurance is wrong. Don't get me wrong there. But we have to be careful of what we try to do to try to make ourselves feel comfortable when it's just a simple faith of trusting in God. Everything about tomorrow is uncertain, except for the fact that God will be there and that God will be in control, and he has promised it in Scripture. We don't have to worry about the next pandemic. We don't have to worry and fret about the economy. We don't have to fret about our health. Because God is already there. He is already knowing. He just is asking you tonight to just put your trust in him. That is the simple plea God is asking for you this evening. 1 Peter 5 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. God has it all put together from start to finish. Praise God tonight. We don't have to worry about that. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And I really like that song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Isn't that so true tonight? So in closing, as we think about tomorrow, we don't have any idea what tomorrow may hold. I have plans tomorrow. I plan to go home and get my family and come back, if the Lord wills. That is my plan, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if God has other plans, we need to be willing to accept that. And so my encouragement to you is this evening, as we leave here, to put your faith and trust in him 100%. And I know with absolute fact, because I felt it in my own life, that that is harder to do, to put into practice, than it is to say at times. It's not always easy. But now is the only time we have, and we have the opportunity, and God is begging us tonight, please, just give it to him. And so as you think about that, as we go throughout your life, I just encourage you and urge you to put your trust in him.